May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Growing up in the Protestant tradition meant I had little teaching on the life of the saints during my early years as a Christian. And as I moved into more liturgical expressions of faith, I was introduced to today's festival. And yet the seeds of understanding were planted early on. I recall going to a Christian conference for young people in Chicago. It was a large event. Thousands of people gathered around, worshiping and singing to our Creator. As we sang with enthusiasm about God's life-transforming presence among us, I was captured by the idea that I was joined in some mysterious way with every Christian around the world, past, present, and future. This was an exciting revelation for me at the time, and it encapsulates the heart of what All Saints' Day means for us today. The celebration of All Saints is rooted in the belief that there is a powerful spiritual bond between the heavenly and the living church. In the early centuries of the church, it was common practice for Christians to remember the anniversaries of martyrs' death, and this soon became a common date for all martyrs and saints. Today, then, is a day set aside to celebrate our connection with all the church in every time and in every place. We remember the lives of special saints marked and revered by the church. We think of our own personal saints, people in our lives who have pointed us to God, who challenge and encourage our faith. And today is also a day to remember that in Christ, we are all called saints. We may not always feel or act like saints, but in the grace of God, this is what we are. The poet Robert Louis Stevenson wrote, "Saints are sinners who keep on going." In other words, saints are ordinary people who walk the journey of faith together. And I caught a glimpse of what this looks like when ordinary people walk the journey of faith together this past weekend as a group of us were on retreat together at St. Columba's House in Woking. The theme of the retreat was our journey into the heart of God. And we had a lovely time together. And I think it is fair to say that each of us came with the intention of exploring our own personal journey of faith. And we found, over the 24 hours together, that our personal journey is very much bound up with one another, that as we make space for God, we begin to recognize and experience His presence in the person sitting next to us. The older I get, the more meaningful All Saints' Day becomes to me. For the number of those dear to me who have now entered into the saints of light grows with each passing year. And if we each think back on our lives, there will be people who have made significant impact on our own personal journey of faith. And one of these special people in my life was my grandmother. My grandmother, more than anyone else, helped me understand and experience the love and grace of God. She did this not through any dramatic action or great wisdom, but simply by loving and accepting me just as I was. My parents would often joke that in my grandmother's eyes, I could do no wrong, that I was perfect. And seeing myself through my grandmother's eyes helped me in time catch a glimpse of how I am seen, of how we are all seen through the eyes of God. And this, I think, is where St. John is pointing us in today's reading from the book of Revelation. There will be a time and a place when all things will come into their true light, where the very water of life will sustain us, where God Himself will bend low to wipe away our tears. In time, we will come to know that we are the people that God sees. Last week, during our weekly pilgrim course, we were discussing the question, what first impressed us about Jesus? Now, this question is not actually an easy one. It can be difficult to express what Jesus might mean to us. And so, after a few moments of silence, I broke the silence and said what my first impression of Jesus was. When I was in my mid-teens and new to the faith, I began to read through the Gospel of Matthew. And when I happened upon today's passage, the Beatitudes, I was profoundly affected by what I read. And I remember later well announcing to my youth group leader that I now knew who Jesus was. I understood what he had come to do. I knew that Jesus was the first hippie. Now, in our pilgrim course, we all laughed at this idea, of course. But then someone in the course said, well, I think this is true. Jesus was the first hippie. He was a revolutionary, speaking peace, mercy, and justice into a hurting and broken world. So then picturing Jesus as the first hippie may not be so wrong. The Beatitudes, the introduction to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, may be the most frequently quoted passage of Scripture, and it may also be the most misunderstood. The words fall from our tongue, and yet, when we really listen to them, they stop us in our tracks. Those of you who were here last week heard a wonderful sermon by Reverend Rose Hudson Wilkin, the chaplain to the Speaker of the House of Commons. Her words to us were challenging. She spoke simply about what it means to live out the gospel in a world of broken relationships, prejudice, abuse, and greed. And I was challenged by her words to us, not merely because of the specific examples she gave from her life, but because she was pointing me, pointing all of us to the heart of our faith. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. The Beatitudes are not a list of do's and don'ts, but they are pronouncements of blessing. Jesus does not say, you must be merciful, but rather, those who are merciful will receive mercy, and they will be blessed. Sometimes we find it disheartening to read a passage like the Beatitudes. We may feel we are unable to live up to such a standard, or we may respond by taking the weight of the world upon our own shoulders. Now, I think we all know that this is fruitless, for only God can carry the weight of the world. All we need to do is come alongside to join with God, not as his servants, but as his friends. For as we hear in our reading from the letter to 1 John, we are called the children of God. An astounding claim when you think about it. The idea conveys a sense of innocence, joy, and vulnerability. Those of you who are parents understand the desire to love and protect your children. And all of us have been children in need of love, care, and acceptance. To say then that we are children of God points us to our need for God and to his promise of grace. And so, in a little while, as we gather around the sacrament, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, let us recall God's promise to us, the gift of his grace. For when we do this, we shall be truly blessed. Amen.